Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Excited to be with you on Wednesday nights. Welcome back after a two-week little break on Wednesdays. And just blessed to spend this time with you tonight. Let me pray and open up our service. Enjoy this time with you. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We get to turn to it. Any given book in here, Lord, inspired by your Holy Spirit. And in the Song of Solomon, you have things to tell us, things we need to hear, and we gladly surrender and submit ourselves to you and to the work of your Holy Spirit for this book. And thank you for it, Lord. So would you give it all the life you have intended in it to give to our hearts and minds and help us to see any application you intend for us to see. And we submit to you for that work of your Holy Spirit. And we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Usually I like to give fairly short introductions to a book, but I think this book requires much more than normal in terms of a robust introduction, and primarily because there's just so much debate on this book, what it is, what does it represent, what are the themes. There's very little agreement on much of anything on this book, and so we're going to look at some of the issues. And anyway, let me just give several introductory remarks, and again, it'll take a little bit of time. But first, just the name of the book. And I'm reading out of a New King James, and for me, the name of this book is the Song of Solomon. Depending on what commentary you look at, there are different names. The Song of Songs, many Bibles, that's the name, the Song of Songs. I think it gets that name from verse 1. Notice there the first four words of the book are the Song of Songs. And so that's why it's called that by some. I'll refer to it as the Song of Solomon. And, of course, right away we're told who wrote it. So you notice there right away the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. For first, what is the name of the book? You can call it Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. Some just call it Songs. And then, of course, who wrote it? Well, we're told right there, Solomon. So that's even debated, even though it's right there. So it's like, so you look at some of the stuff and go, I don't know where you're getting that from, but Solomon said he wrote it, and so I believe it. And to further that, Solomon is actually mentioned in six other verses. Chapter 1, verse 5, it's not talking about him, but talks about the curtains of Solomon, and then we're going to see him in chapter 3, verses 7, 9, and 11, chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. So we're going to give him all the credit for writing it. I think the bigger issue is not that Solomon wrote it. I don't know if you ever sit here and go, why in the world would the Lord use Solomon to write a book about marriage? You guys ever watch them? Sometimes they look at some TV show saying they got these psychologists on TV, and like you find out they've been, and I'm not making light of this part, but they've been married and divorced three times, and they're giving marriage advice. You don't exactly want to listen to that guy on marriage advice. If that's what you've been through. And so you, in that vein of thinking, that's why I said that, you go, why in the world would the Lord use Solomon? Let me give a couple of things here, because I still really think we need to fully invest in what Solomon said as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. But possibility number one, he may have written this when he was younger. Very possible he wrote this when he was younger. This was his first wife. He hadn't gotten crazy with adultery. And I mean, a serial adulterer, right? You ever heard of anybody with 700 wives and 300 concubines? I mean, really? Really? That's just crazy. So why would he? But it could be it was his first wife, and then there was the purity of that, and then it was later that he went a little haywire. Now, on the other hand, I also don't have a problem necessarily with him writing it later in the same vein that we appreciate the book of Ecclesiastes, because you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and what did he say? He was the man with the most wisdom in the world, and he went through and said, I dove into everything, trying to find meaning under the sun, but he came to the proper conclusion in the end. And sometimes the person that's made these massive sweeps of looking for happiness or joy in life and finally come to the truth, they sometimes can give greater advice than a person that just kind of skated through and always did the right thing, so to speak. And in that way, I think he could have given us great advice. So in that way, I could grasp that. Now, we're not told when he wrote it. And then for a third possibility, let's never forget that the Holy Spirit's the Holy Spirit. He can inspire anybody to write anything. And so since the Holy Spirit's really the author of the book, I don't let who the human writer is be a deterrent to me from enjoying the book and the beauty of the book. Of course, 2 Timothy 3 tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we're going to let Solomon be the author because God said so, not that we need to let it. He is the author. And I'm going to enjoy the book for what he has to tell us. But so anyway, we're going to dig into it and ascribe it to Solomon. Let's look next at the outline of the book. What's the outline? I do have an overhead, three simple overheads. They might grow as we go through the book, but the first one is that many look at chapters 1 from verse 1 to chapter 3, verse 5. Many call it the courtship. I don't go with that because, you know, that's the time when you're betrothed or engaged, but they're talking very intimately in the very beginning. I mean, you're in the very first few verses, and they're talking about she's going to bring him into her bedchamber and that kind of thing. And so it's like, hey, this is beyond the courtship. In some ways, I think, you know, as Solomon's writing this, at some level, young, looking back, if he was young or whatever, you know, there was the courtship, but now they're married. And so I really do think this is a little bit later than in the courtship process. I think it's about the wedding or after. But then she does relay, or the Solomon relays, what they were both thinking going through the actual wedding process, I believe, in chapter 3, verse 6 to chapter 5, verse 1, and the events of the wedding. And it is quite an impressive wedding, and the limo he pulls up in is quite nice when you get to see it. So we'll get to see that a little bit later. And limo for that day, of course, not a stretch limo like today, but he does impress her. And then chapter 5 to the end, marriage events and some married lives and some struggles in their marriage. And so we're going to learn some great lessons there from that. And so very, very powerful. Now let's look very quickly at the major players of the book, which is the second slide. We've got three main characters, and they cover really about 99% of the book. There's the beloved, which is Solomon. And he is the beloved. He's the one that she is referring to. And so some actually take views that it's not Solomon, that maybe Solomon loved her and she loved some other guy. And anyway, I don't go for that. It's a love story between him and this woman that he loved. Then there's the Shulamite, the young lady, the bride. And she's very much in love with him. He's very much in love with her. And she has a whole lot.